Sifiwe, all other ground except whose? Tell your neighbor we are in a new month. Tell your neighbor Valentine's Day is around the corner. Some of you are just, that's all you're thinking about. But this month has much, much more to give. This is a month that we are talking about the empowered seed. Last month we talked about empowered vision. We are talking about empowered seed. January we talked about Abraham. This month we're talking about Isaac. Next month, Jacob. So we know where we are going. We want to read Genesis 21, verse 1 to 7. Genesis 21, 1 to 7. I was telling the people in the first service that this theme book on page 178 has a study for every month. And so sometimes if you want to pick up the subject on your own, you can study those 5 questions every month so that your faith can be built up. Amen? So we are reading Genesis 21. I read from verse 1. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter. I am saying this month, may God bring you laughter. Amen. Come on, somebody, may God bring you laughter. God has brought me laughter, and everyone who, excuse me, and everyone who hears about this will do what? Will laugh with me. Tell your neighbor, they will not laugh at me. They will laugh with me. And then she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Tell your neighbor, it's never too late to get your promise fulfilled. Hallelujah. Amen. This is God's word, and God's people said,
amen.
We may be seated in God's presence. As we do that, Pastor Felista is reminding us there's a couple's dinner. Tell your neighbor, couple's dinner.
Couple's dinner.
You remember I told you about this Valentine thing? And so Pastor Felista and the family ministry is putting together a couple's dinner on the 10th of February. And the 10th of February, I believe, is a Friday, right here at Parklands Baptist Church. And you are welcome. I believe more details, you can find them through Pastor Felista in the church office. And you better show up. It will be in the youth sanctuary. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We believe that it never goes out and comes back empty. And I believe that the people who have gathered here have gathered to worship, and they have worshipped. They gathered to pray, and they have prayed. They gathered to give, and they have given. They have also gathered to receive your word. Lord, as your servant opens his mouth, may that which you purpose for them to hear today, may they hear it. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So Lord, Holy Spirit, minister that anointing upon every person who hears this word in the sanctuary, in the pavilion, in the overflow, tent, online, wherever they will hear this word, anoint this word and cause it to become alive to each one of us. This we have prayed in Jesus' name, and God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Now, we are introducing this subject on the seed. Today we are talking about the insight of empowered seed. We are saying that the seed is empowered. Just like we said, the vision is empowered. The seed is not a dead seed. It's a live seed, and it is empowered. Again, as we unpack this, we want to emphasize that seed should not be equated to money. So, look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, seed is not money. All right? So we want to move that, and yet, for sure, there are times when you give money and it's like a seed you planted, because it's a concept. But here we want to tie this word seed to a very significant place, so that as you walk in the scriptures, the truth you know sets you free. Tell your neighbor, the truth I know will set me free. There are three things I will be tying together as I talk about seed. Number one, the significance of the seed. Number two, the signature of the seed. And thirdly, the sowing of the seed. I begin the significance of the seed, the signature of the seed, and the sowing of the seed. I want to start with the significance, because it is important for you to know that God talks about seed right from the book of Genesis. The Bible says that on the third day, God spoke to the ground and commanded the ground to release seed, vegetation, trees, and fruits. That was happening on the third day. Why on the third day, Pastor Simon? Because the third day is a day of resurrection. Things come out on the third day. Things jump out. So let me read this verse in Genesis 1, verse 9, talking about how God spoke to this earth and it brought this seed out. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. Verse 12, the land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. The next time God talks about seed later is in chapter 3 of Genesis. The problem between Adam and Eve and the serpent, the snake. And the devil entered the garden and deceived Eve. So tell your neighbor, Eve was deceived. What about Adam? Was Adam deceived? Now ask your neighbor if they ever went to Sunday school. So let me ask one more time. Eve was deceived. But Adam was not deceived. That's what some people are saying. So what happened to him? Disobeyed. Disobeyed Eve. Obeyed Eve. So who is to be blamed for the problems of the world? Help. The serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. Remember, he was just a serpent. The devil entered the serpent. The devil is not a serpent, but he used a serpent. Are we together? Later, he is associated with the serpent for quite a bit. So sometimes we think he's a snake, but he's an angel, fallen angel, woman, directly. And then starts a conversation. Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. But God did say, now watch what she says. God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it. Now, that was an edit from Eve. God did not talk about touching the tree. Look at the woman next to you. God did not talk about touch this. But she just added that. By the way, let me ask this. When God gave the command not to eat of the tree, was Eve present? Had she been created? So who knew about that tree? Now who was supposed to tell the woman about the tree? Okay. All right, here we go. So they're still talking. Verse 4. The devil is saying this. Now remember, the devil is a deceiver. Verse 4. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. Now that's something she had never had. All right? Your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good, which means she stayed there after the devil had left and watched that tree. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. But the next statement, she also gave some to her husband who was where? Now, which means that when the conversation was ongoing, where was Adam? Yes, he was there listening to this conversation. What do you think he was supposed to do? He was supposed to deal with who? With the serpent, and tell the serpent, do not talk to my wife. Hallelujah. I know what God said, and you are not going to deceive my wife. But Adam, I don't know what had happened to him. He was with her, and then he did what? He ate it. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they realized they were naked. Then the eyes of the both were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden, because he used to come and fellowship with them every day, just like going to Java and just talking to them. The garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord. This is the first time they hid from him. God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" Now, does it mean God didn't know where they are? He knew. He wanted Adam to locate himself. God is looking for us and saying, "Can you locate yourself? Do you know where you are?" God already knows where you are, so he's not asking to know. Listen to the next statement. And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Do you not to eat from?" The man said, "Hey, Bana, don't blame me." The woman. Now, who is being blamed now? Not the woman. Who is Adam blaming? God. He's saying, "It's not me. This woman, it was your idea. The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Verse 13. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "Ah, not me. The serpent deceived me and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You'll crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity," that's the verse I want you to catch now about the seed. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head and you will strike his heel." Now, let me read this in the New King James Version, verse 15 only. The Bible says this, verse 15. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall..." Okay, "he shall crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now, that statement is talking about who? Huh? It's talking about Jesus. That's why I want you to associate the seed with Jesus. Are we together? The seed is a person. It's not a thing. It's a person. It's Jesus. And so the significance, that's the first part I want to talk about. The significance of the seed is this, that for Abraham, it was long awaited. It was a promise that was given. We read earlier, Sarah was very excited because it had taken a long time. Abraham was how old when Isaac was born? 100. When God gave him the promise, he was how old? 75. Which means it took how long for that promise to come? 25 years. But let me tell you this, it was so significant because it took time to be fulfilled, but it came to pass. I'm talking to somebody here and saying, God's promises may have delayed seemingly, but in 2023, they are going to happen. I'm saying they're going to happen. I'm saying they're going to happen. Long awaited. And after Isaac, again for many, many years, the coming of the Messiah was long waited for. The Bible says in Isaiah, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given." And that was many years back. And so people had to wait and wait and wait until the angel appeared to Mary and said, "You're highly favored. You shall have a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people." A promise long awaited, very significant. But God needed to turn around what the enemy had started. Let me tell you this, the devil does not have the last word. God has the last word. He may have ambushed you, he may have done crazy things in your life, but guess what? God has the last word. And for Sarah, it was so significant because Sarah even started saying, "Can I at this age?" Laugh. Because Isaac means what? Laughter. God had already made a covenant with Abraham. So let me read this in Genesis 17, around verse 14. God is talking to Abraham and he's making a covenant. That's why, again, that seed is very significant. The Bible says, Genesis 17, let me read it in the NIV. Let me pick it from verse, around verse 16. Just go down. Okay, so it says, I will bless her and I will surely give you a son by her. Okay, go back to verse 15. Verse 15. God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, tell your neighbor Sarai. You are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. Then he says in verse 16, I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. Now, do you know the things God thinks about you? You know, sometimes we think that God has forgotten us, and God is just saying, kings are going to come from you. Men of renown are going to come out of you. Some of your children look like they will end up in prison. But let me tell you this, they will not end up in prison. Some parents, they're upset. You know, you're upset with your daughter and says, you, the way you're behaving, if you don't become a prostitute, I'll be very surprised. Can you imagine saying things like that? And this daughter, because she has caught that word, she actually ends up being a prostitute. Not because she wanted, but because you spoke that word to her. So watch what you say sometimes to your children. Sometimes you're upset, you're angry, but listen, no matter how crazy they are, God has a plan for them. Because let me tell you this, you need to tell them where you were before. Yourself, where you started. Bonus fuel. And looking at you people, you are a miracle. look, if you came here and gave us your story, you are a miracle. But listen to Abraham. The Bible says in verse 17, Abraham fell face down, and what did he do? He laughed. You know, sometimes we think only Sarah laughed. But Abraham laughed. He laughed. And he fell face down. In other words, iyo kicheko ilikuwa ya hali ya juu. And he laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. He kept bringing Ishmael. First of all, it was Eliezer. Then he says, Ishmael. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God is not a man that he should lie. He's not a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, will he not do it? Has he spoken? Will he not fulfill it? Our part is to hold on to that promise even when every evidence is contrary to the promise. But listen, then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son and you will call him Isaac. So God was the giver of that name. He said, the way you have laughed, I'm going to call your son Laughter. And he will always remind you that the joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm talking to somebody today and saying, you're going to laugh this month. Amen. I'm saying you're going to laugh this month. Amen. The Bible says in Psalms 126 about the dreams that come true. Listen as I read a few of those verses. Psalms 126, verse 1. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who do what? Who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter. Our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Verse 4, restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. This month is your breakthrough month. This month is a turnaround month for you. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, you're going to laugh. Tell your neighbor, your name is laughter. Tell your neighbor, your name is Isaac. In Jesus' name. Tell them, even if you're a lady, you're Isaac. Hallelujah. May you laugh this month. You may be going through a very rough stretch right now, but let me tell you this, when God steps in and gives you freedom and answers your prayer in ways you could not imagine, you just begin to laugh. You know, some people laugh while tears are coming out. And you're going to laugh. God is going to surprise you. The anointing that has been released is released to cause there to be joy in your life. Bwana sifiwe. So God made a covenant with Abraham. And he said, because of this covenant, you're going to have a child. And that child is not Ishmael. That seed is not Ishmael. That seed is Isaac. Much later, by the way, Abraham had other children. So let me go to Genesis, I believe it is 25. Genesis 25. The Bible says this. I believe it's 25. Just go there. Let me see what it says. Genesis 25. If we can get there very quickly. I just want to pick something here, something there. Abraham had taken another wife. Now, thank you, Jesus. All right. So do you know that Abraham took another wife? You didn't know. Sarah died. Yes, so Sarah died. So after that death, Abraham took another wife. Tell your neighbor, hallelujah. Abraham had taken another wife whose name was Keturah. All right? Now guess, he had a lot of children. He bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Midan, Midian, Ishbak, Shua. I don't know why people do not call their children those names. Did you know they exist? Just go back. You need to be calling people Jokshan Awino. Midian Ochieng. Those, you know, Ishbak Koech. You know, those are good names. But let me tell you this. Even though they were seeds, they were offspring of Abraham, the chosen seed was who? Now that is important. Because God picked a seed among them and said, through this one, I will bless the nations. I will bless the nations. And that is why when Jesus came, God said, among all the prophets who have come, this one is my son, in whom I'm well pleased. Through him, the nations will be saved. God made a choice. And so Isaac became the laughter in that family. And I believe that there's laughter coming your way. I want to talk about the signature. So the significance is the promise was fulfilled. The signature is that that seed had a name. Let me read Genesis chapter 21, verse 11 and 12. Genesis. Again, we are come upset. Okay? So tell your neighbor, in families, people get upset. So go to verse, I think it is verse 1. So let me pick that thought so that you can catch why he was being upset. The Bible says this in verse 1. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had and said the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Okay, we have read those verses, but let's pick it from verse 8. Sorry. Go to verse 8. In verse 8 it says this. The child grew and was weaned. And on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. This was like a graduation. So there was a big bash. Tell your neighbor there was a bash. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had born to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac. So by the way, whose idea was Hagar in the first place? Now, whose idea is it for her to be chucked out of the place? Now, you know, sometimes I don't understand you women. You know, sometimes women are very difficult to understand. But thank God for them. They make life happen. Tell your neighbor, they make life happen. So Abraham is between this story of Ishmael and who? Isaac. There is Hagar. There is who? There is Sarah. These issues happen. And that is why in verse 11 it says, the matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God now listen to whatever Sarah tells you. Can you imagine? And then he says, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Now turn that verse into the New King James, because that word offspring means seed. And that is why God was saying this covenant cannot be broken, because I already decided it is through who? Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing to Abraham's side because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your side because of the lad or because of your bond woman. Whatever Sarah said to you, listen to her voice. For in Isaac, your seed shall be called. Hallelujah. Your seed shall have a name. Your seed is laughter, and your seed will cause people to laugh. Seeds are very important. And you need to give your seed a name. Bwana asifiwe. Let me read another verse in Romans chapter 9, verse 7 and 8. This is what the Bible says. Romans 9, 7 and 8. All right. Okay, go to verse 6 so that we can start a sentence here. All right, verse 6. Okay, so it says, it is not as though God's word had failed. For not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Nor, because they are his descendants, are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Let me read this in the New King James Version, because I want the word seed to appear. So go back to verse 6. All right? But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel. Who are of where? Of Israel. Nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. And that's why I told you about the children of Abraham. But in Isaac, your seed shall be called. Are we together? In Abraham, your seed shall be called. In other words, God has given a name to that seed. And he's saying, my identity is in that seed. And through that seed, the blessing will come. I am praying that you will be able to understand that now in our age, Jesus is that seed. Hallelujah. And in Jesus' name, we shall be named. The Bible says, but to those who received him, who believed in his name, he gave them the power to do what? To become. That's an amazing verse. Gave us power to become because of the word of God. The word is a seed. So go to John chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says this, and you know this verse. It says, in the beginning was what? The word. And the word was with who? And the word was who? In the beginning was what? And the word was with who? And the word was who? In verse 14, the Bible says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now let me read Mark 4:14. It's talking about seeds. And this is what it says as Jesus interprets the parable. Mark 4:14. It says, the sower does what? Sows the word. All right? The word is what was sown. Jesus is the word that was sown. He is the word of God. And in his name we shall be called. I'm saying in his name we shall be called. So those who receive the word, those who receive this seed, we become. If we receive Jesus as Savior, we become what? Okay, let me say it again. Jesus is the word. Those who received him became. If we receive the word, we become. If we receive Jesus as the Savior, we become what? We become saved. If we receive Jesus as our healer, we become what? Healed. If we receive Jesus as our provider, we become what? Provided for. Whatever you receive that word to be, it becomes for you. So Jesus is your breakthrough. I'm saying Jesus is your breakthrough. I'm saying Jesus is your breakthrough. Hallelujah. Whatever you allow Jesus to be, that's how you will be named. You will become. But I want to touch the third thing, which is also very important. What is the first word? The significance of what? Of the seed. Number two, the signature of the seed. But now the sowing of the seed. Now, let me read Genesis 22. Because God tested Abraham. The Bible says in verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. Now let me say it another way. Abraham, take your seed and go to the region of Israel, of Moriah, and plant it. You see, seeds are nothing and they will produce nothing until what happens? Until they are planted. So God was wanted to give a lesson and a revelation to Abraham. He said, I have given you Isaac. You waited for him for a long time, but now give him back to me. You see, sometimes when God asks you to give him something, it's not because he needs it. It's because you need it more. Let me speak to the people here. When God asks you for something, it's not because he needs it. It's because you need it more. Much more. So God had given Isaac, and God says, I need Isaac back. Not so that I can keep him, but so that I can give him back to you. And when I give him back to you, it is no longer a seed, it is an empowered seed. Are you listening to me? Moses was in the wilderness for a long time, and one day God came to him in the book of Exodus chapter 4. So let me read those verses. Verse 1, the Bible says this, because I want you to see something that I want you to associate with what I'm talking about. Moses answered, if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you, then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground, and it became what? A snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took the hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. Now, this story basically says this. God says, I need that staff. Give it to me because I'm going to give it back to you. But give it to me because that staff is dangerous to you as long as you have it. In other words, Moses had been walking with a snake for years. And he did not know that if that snake was not given, that rod was not given to God, that snake was going to bite him one day. Did you know that God can sometimes give you a blessing? And God blesses your machine, and suddenly, because of the machine, you completely forget God. You're going everywhere else except church. You're in Naivasha. Hallelujah. Loitoktok, umenda, umenda. And God gave you the car, but God cannot catch up with you. But let me tell you this, when you get a car and God says, give it to me, it's not because God wants to take it away from you. God wants to take it and remove the poison out of it. He wants to remove the snake out of it, give it back to you empowered so that you can enjoy it, because now it becomes a blessing. Sometimes God can give us children, and if we don't give them back to you, your children become a snare to you. Hello? And you're wondering, why are these children giving me a hell of a time? And if you can think through it, you receive those children, and you began to adore those children, you began to idolize those children, and those children become gods to you, and you cannot let them go. And God is saying, that's not the way to go. The first thing you need to do is, when I give you something, give it back to me. I will bless it and give it to you, and it will become a blessing. So when Isaac was given, it was like Isaac was planted. And when Isaac was planted in the soil of God's favor, when God returned Isaac to Abraham, to Abraham, he became a blessing. When Moses threw the rod and he took it back from God, it now became no longer the rod of Moses. He never called it the rod of Moses. From that day onward, he called it the rod of God. Let me read that in Exodus 17, Exodus 4 verse 20, and then I'll tie up this message. Look at you better give God yourself. Moses on a donkey. Moses took his wife to Egypt. Staff of God. It now belonged to God. May your children belong to God. Amen. May your possessions belong to God. Amen. May your children belong to God. Amen. I believe, like I've told you many times, being the firstborn and born premature, my mother being very scared that I would die, a 7 months just born, and I don't know if that's what she did, but I believe because of what I see myself, she prayed. And she took this little thing in her hand and said, God, take Ambrose. And by the way, whereas you take him, please, Ambrose surviving, make him a pastor. Here I am. Voila. And I believe many of you are existing today because your mother prayed for you. Your mother prayed for you. And your mother gave you to God and said, God, whatever you do, take this boy, take this girl. And today you have a testimony. And I pray that as we talk about this seed, that this seed will be planted in the soil of God's blessing. And it will become the seed of God. Let me finish by reading this verse. John chapter 12, verse 24. Actually, I want to read two more verses. John 12, 24. Jesus speaking, and this is what he says. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat, or we also saw a seed, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and does what? It dies. It remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. May you be planted in God. I'm saying may you be planted in God. Let me read this verse in Zechariah 8:12. Zechariah 8:12 says this about the seed. It says this. Zechariah 8:12. The seed will grow well. The vine will yield its fruit. The ground will produce its crops. And the heavens will drop their dew. I will give all these things as an inheritance to the remnant of this people. Now let me read it from in this direction. Just put it back there. The seed will grow. The only time it grows is because it was first of all what? Planted. So let me say this. When Pastor Riggs, as a seed, is planted in the soil of God's favor, Pastor Riggs will grow well. Pastor Riggs will be a vine that will yield fruit. The ground where he is planted will produce crops. And the heavens of God's favor will drop their dew. And God will give Pastor Riggs all things as an inheritance to his people. Now, did you need that? Now, put your name in this verse. So, let go, get back. So, tell your neighbor, I'm the seed that is written there. I will grow well. My vine will yield its fruit. The ground of God's favor will produce its crops. The heavens and God's goodness will drop its dew upon me. The Lord will then give all things to me as an inheritance because I belong to his people. That's my portion. And the devil cannot take it from me. I am a seed. Isaac was a seed. Jesus is a seed.
As Jesus is,
so am I. Now give God a big hand. Amen. Please stand on your feet. We are talking about seed, and you are the good seed. I'm saying you are the good seed. I'm saying may the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you. May you be given to the Lord. May you give your children to the Lord. May you give the things that God gives you back to Him. You open a company. Tell God, thank you for giving me this company. Now I'm giving it to you. And by the way, sometimes you wonder, if you're going to dedicate your house, can you dedicate your house yourself? I'm asking you. Can you? Yes, you can. That's what I'm trying to say. But you can also invite Pastor Simon. He loves dedicating houses. But what I'm just saying, you need somebody to agree with you. And so that as that house is given to God, then God then releases the blessing. The reason why God asks you to give a tithe, see, when you give Him to you, God. Haircut, hairdo, all those things. Then at the end, nothing is left. So we tell God, God, this month, nikubaya. But next month, I'll give you double. Next month, kifika, the needs are the same, even more. Before you know it, you are owing God a tithe after 6 months. Now that's a lot. Then you tell God, Father, write off the debt. Tuanze upya. But you see, God knows you. God understands you. What the revelation you don't have is this. That tithe is not something taken away from you. That tithe is blessed to be given back to you so that you begin to attract, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give to you. You better give God a big hand. Amen. So Jesus was feeding 5,000. They brought him two fish, five loaves of bread. What does he do? Before he started distributing, he gave it to who? To God. Then God gave it back to him. And when it was distributed, it multiplied. It now connected with the multiplication effect. The multiplication factor entered into it, and 5,000 people were fed with something that was so small. Let me tell you this. Don't hold on to what you have because you will lose it. Release it to God because He will multiply it back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Bwana asifiwe. As we prepare this month, there's something I want to bring to your attention. On the 26th of February, which is the last Sunday of this month, we want to ask you to come and give God 7 key prayer requests that will become your seed into His soil. How many? Now, usually I know some of you have 20, 25, but get a priority of 7 and say, Lord, these ones, I want to see them happen this year. This promise that has been promised for so long, it needs to become a reality this year. So, figure out those 7. On 26th, you're going to put them in an envelope, and we are going to come here, we are going to corporately agree and give it to God. Now, 26th is very interesting, Pastor Simon, because the 26th connects with Genesis 26. Genesis 26 is where Isaac sowed in famine And the same year he harvested 100 times. We want to believe God that this year we shall harvest 100 times. 100-fold in Jesus' name. 100-fold. Talking about numbers. Number 2 is a number of agreement. Number 6 is a number of man, because we were created on the 6th day. So 26, 2 is agreement, 6 is man. Connected in that agreement with God, 2 plus 6 becomes 8. 8 is a number of new beginnings. Something will ignite. 2 times 6 is what? 12. 12 is a number of the kingdom. 6 divided by 2 is what? 3 is the number of Trinity. That day is very significant. So the assignment is this. Begin to figure out what those 7 things are. I will announce it again next Sunday. Pastor Simon will also mention it. But on that 26th, we'll come together and believe together with you. And this year, when you sow that seed of prayer, not sowing seed of money, sowing the seed of prayer in the soil of God's goodness and God's favor, God will multiply it back to you 100-fold. How many of you want God to answer your prayers this year? I'm included in that number, because there are some things that need to shift in my life, in your life, in our lives as a family, as individuals, in your business, as a country, as all. And that which is God's, God will make sure that he works it out for his glory. I've told you many times that Kenya does not belong to any individual. It belongs to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. So let me say it again one more time. Kenya belongs to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And it is only him who can make us prosper and grow and flourish to the glory of God. The rest of us are just stewards of his favor and of his goodness. So, have you caught that message? Yes. Begin to prepare, begin to pray. God will also tell you the things you need to pray for. And as you engage, God will do the rest. Did you receive something today?
Yes.
Did you learn something?
Yes.
Some of you are just thinking about Eve and Adam. I'm saying about the seed. Did you learn something about the seed?
Yes.
The first statement was the significance of what? The seed. The second one?
Seed.
The third one? The seed must be sown. Otherwise, its potential is locked in itself. So, lift up your hands and give God a big hand, and then I'll pray for us. Tell your neighbor, next time you see me, I'll be very different. Tell them I'll be transformed. Because I'm a seed of laughter. So ukiniona nikicheka cheka, just tell them it will be God answering my prayers. When you see me with a lot of joy, it is my Isaac speaking. And my Isaac being released. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Father, even as you revive us, it's because the seed is speaking. The seed of Isaac is speaking. The seed that is Jesus is speaking. Lord, I pray that the revelation of this word will continue to manifest in our lives this week as we meditate on your word, as we pray it through. My God, something is going to ignite in our lives. Something is going to open. Lord, the anointing has been released. And the anointing is flowing. May it flow on your people, Jehovah God. May it flow in their workplaces. May it flow in their families. May it flow in their own individual lives. Dear Lord, this month, we are canceling every work of the devil. We are telling Satan he cannot deceive us. We are telling him that we will not disobey God. We will stand by God's word. We will flourish in God's garden. And Father, we say thank you, because we know that what we declare is done in heaven and it is done here on earth. Dear Father, thank you for your people, oh God, even as we continue to learn more about this seed and about Abraham and about Isaac. Father, we are declaring that we are the seed planted in good soil. We are the seed planted in your favor. Lord, this year we are talking about completion, fulfillment, and rest. We want to pray that God, even as we begin to put our prayer requests together, that Father, as we plant them in that corporate time of prayer, that Father, in Jesus' name, we shall reap a harvest, because we shall experience completeness, fulfillment, and rest. Eternal God, as I release your people, I release them into a week that is full of great expectation, a week that is full of your goodness, because God, you have gone ahead of us. And regardless of the challenges we may face, we are not facing them in our name. We are facing them in the name of Jesus. And we want to decree and declare that we are more than conquerors, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Our children are blessed. Our families are blessed. We are blessed. The work of our hands is blessed. And so, Father, we receive this word and we walk in it this week and even in this month. We receive it in the name that is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God's people say, amen. Now let's give God another big hand. Just appreciate him. Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, surely goodness, and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Okay. They are welcome in Jesus' name at the Chaos Karibu Center. Not Care Center, Karibu Center. Or where else? And the members, there's tea for members. Any people can stay around and drink tea. Come for tea, my people. At the Mugumo place. Okay, can you hear God that good news? Hallelujah. And now may the grace